Yo, before this episode, I want to give a little shout out to a guy named Alex Federley, who is just one of these dudes that I follow on Instagram. Got my little crew of Instagram people that, you know, I don't technically know them. I just know them through Instagram, but it's cool to follow their journeys and stuff. So this dude, Alex Federley, he put out a book this year. It's called All the Empty Houses by Alexander Federley. And it's just cool because obviously I'm working on a book. It's what this whole podcast is about. And so it's neat just to see other people a little further along in the process. So it took him 4 years to write this book, and it's just been so neat to watch. Can you hear that thunder? I'm gonna get rained on soon. But it's so neat to watch through Instagram the progression. All the Empty Houses available on Amazon. And at first he was posting like, yeah, I sold 250 copies of this book, like right on. And then it's like, oh, 500 copies, 1,000 copies, 1,500 copies. And now it's like almost up to 2,000 copies sold. And it's just like, that's so cool, dude. I know that guy through Instagram. And the main thing I learned from the other book I wrote, the nonfiction book about The Last of Us, the biggest revelation about that, I mean, first off, there was just that confidence that I finally finished a book, so I felt like I could do it again. But it was the realization that, you know, I thought getting to the end was the hard part. Like, oh, I can't wait till I get to the end. I can't wait till I finish a book. And then when I did, I realized I had only gotten to the start. You know, like the amount of work to do from that point is unbelievable. It's so hard to take the book you've written and then do something with it, to get it in front of people. And in the case of my nonfiction book, I did not put my whole back into it. You know, I did go through all the channels of figuring out how to put it on marketplaces and how to put it in the proper formatting and how to get a cover and blah, 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 blah. But I also gave it away for free because I'm just like, whatever. I'm frankly not ready for this. It is so hard to promote yourself and it is so hard to be visible. And I mean, there's times that, I mean, I've put out things that no one cares about, just no one cares about. So there's always that worry too of like, what if I do put out a book and nobody cares, you know? What if literally, because it can happen. The internet is an infinitely huge ocean. It's the easiest thing to just get lost. So when I see 2,000 copies sold, that's fucking awesome. That's so cool. For a first-time author who's just doing it himself. And he's doing book signings and shit, like he's an author now. He did it. So I just wanted to shout that out because I think it's super cool. Full disclosure, I have not read his book yet as of this juncture. I can't remember the last time I read a book, to be honest. I just read manga these days. But I wanted to shout him out, and I think you should go check it out. All the Empty Houses by Alexander Federley. It's on Amazon. If it sounds interesting to you, fucking buy a copy. Get him up to 2,000. Get him to 3,000. Get this fucking... He fucking did it. He did it. He did that thing we're all trying to do. And I think that's super cool. And I also wanted to mention that because, man, I've been putting off recording this episode, and then I've been putting off editing it and releasing it because it's just about how I've been having this shit summer, and it is not over yet. I am not out of the woods. This episode's a bit of a downer, so I thought it'd be good to start with some good news, some happy news. Oh, that's weird. I can hear the rain now. Pretty clearly, but since I'm under all these trees, I don't feel it yet. This is weird. But yeah, All the Empty Houses, Alexander Federley, it's on Amazon. Go check that out. Now here is a 30-second song by Nina Gordon, and then we'll get into the episode.
This was the year I fell apart. This was the year I went to war with my heart. This was a bad year for girls like me.
Yo, welcome to How to Write a Novel. So I've been putting off this episode for a little bit, but I think things have more or less leveled out, as evidenced by the fact that I'm in the woods and I'm walking through them, which I haven't been doing much of lately. So yeah, this is about how the summer went for me. Pretty rough. So of course, the whole time I've been doing this podcast, my whole thing is to leave the house, go for a walk, do some writing. I'm always yammering on about how I don't like to write at home. I like to get moving, get my brain going. Go see the world, soak in some nature, do some writing. For years and years and years, I've been doing this. And as is also tradition, while I'm here in my hometown, every fucking year, this is like the third year, I guess, the mosquito population in Atlantic Canada is bananas. It's so much worse than anywhere else I've ever been in my life. So that becomes the battle, the mosquito battle. So I had all kinds of plans this year of like, I got this mosquito netting thing. You like hang it from a tree branch and then it's like a circular mosquito net that hangs down over you. And I have a little camping chair. So I was gonna set up the camping chair, hang the mosquito netting, which actually turned out to be kind of tricky. It's harder to find a perfectly aligned branch than I thought it would be. So instead, I got this fucking umbrella with a clamp on it that you can clamp to the little folding camping chair. And then I could put the mosquito netting over that. But it's still awkward at best, because like it's hard to set up this mosquito net thing without mosquitoes getting in it, because they're just insane. Any little potential way for them to get in, they will. And since this thing is really long, the bottom parts would just kind of drag on the ground and get covered in twigs and dead leaves and stuff. So I had to sort that out, and I'm like, maybe I should get like a tarp, lay down a tarp, then set up the chair, then hook on the fucking umbrella, then And the couple times I did manage to do all this, it was still kind of eerie, because it's like, all right, I am outside in the woods, and I'm sitting here and I'm doing writing. But any time my eyes would drift from my computer screen over to the netting, there's just horrifying amounts of mosquitoes right there, just right, you know, inches from my face, just buzzing around. And it's like, yeah, they can't get to me. I can't hear them because I've got headphones in, but they're right there. It's really not the, let's go out in nature and let's see the world and let's have a nice little bath for my brain. Just wasn't working, because it's still just like, oh, these mosquitoes, they're just right there. It's unpleasant. So this whole thing wasn't working that well anyway. And it's also a shit ton of gear to be carrying around. And also, as I mentioned last year, I used to always write on a Motorola Droid with a little slide-out keyboard, and I would just pick away with my thumbs. And I wrote my entire Last of Us book with my thumbs. And I wrote this entire novel so far with my thumbs and all my little notes for all my other stuff. I've been typing with my stupid thumbs since like 2011 or something on this little keyboard, and it finally caught up to me. My thumbs were like, that's too much, dude. I don't know if it's carpal tunnel or what, but I was just having these pains in my thumbs that no amount of stretching and rehab would fix. And I was like, I guess I just need to, I mean, that's a crazy amount. You're supposed to use these things just to, you know, send an occasional text. You're not supposed to write entire novels with your thumbs. And with these old keyboards, you know, you have to like, it's not like a touchscreen. It takes actual pressure. You do have to push. So I guess it makes sense that eventually my ligaments were like, get the fuck out of here. So as convenient as it was to just have this tiny phone in my pocket, I do still kind of miss that. But I upgraded to a Chromebook. A little bit bigger. You know, it's a little more effort to make sure I've got it with me. The nice thing about that phone is I just always had it with me. You could pull out the phone on the bus or something and just do some writing. And it wasn't at all awkward, where anything bigger than that, suddenly you're the guy on the bus or on the subway with your computer at it, you know, it's just, it's less svelte. But I figured if I'm going through all of this effort to bring all of this gear I've got assembled to battle the mosquitoes, and I'm gonna go hike out through the woods. Oh yeah, also I have to have like a, I've got this mesh mosquito suit. That's not too bad when you're moving, but not good enough once you stop. Because like I said, they can just, they get through it, you know? But I wear that to go hike out into the woods, then do my whole little setup. So I was like, if I'm gonna do all this work, instead of just the Chromebook, I should bring my big laptop too, and I'll do some writing and I'll do some like whatever, fucking editing a video or some shit. So this all added up to a lot of stuff. It wouldn't fit in one book bag. So I had two book bags. I had all the camping shit on my back and I had my computers all on the front. I just kind of slung the book bag around the other way. And spoiler alert, that's how I injured myself. Way too much weight. I hiked around for like 4 hours that day, down the hill, up the hill, all over the place. But I didn't realize that I had, because this is where it all gets weird, is that your pelvic floor, it's this area of muscles and stuff that just doesn't have a lot of its own nerve endings. So it just makes other areas around it hurt to let you know that you've injured it. So I hiked all around that day carrying all this weight. Specifically, the weight on the front, turns out, was straining a lot of muscles and stuff that I don't normally use. And I remember when I got home that day, I was like unnaturally tired. Because I'm just a wired person. Like, I have a very hard time sleeping. I can stay up forever. I'm like always kind of, I guess I always feel a bit tired, but not the kind of tired that'll make you fall asleep, just the ornery kind of tired. It's weird for me to just really feel tired in that, like, you just can't keep your eyes open kind of way. But that's how I felt that day. I got home, and again, nothing hurt at all. But I just had to lie down. I just couldn't not. I just had to lie down. It was like unnatural feeling. It definitely was weird. So yeah, it turns out I strained my groin area, my pelvic floor, my hips, all this area, somewhere, all this whole thing, really, it's all connected. Real, real bad, but I didn't know, because it didn't hurt. I'm not even sure if it hurt the next day. It might have taken a couple of days. That's what made this so hard to figure out what was going on, is for whatever reason, this like deep muscle tissue bullshit, you just don't feel the results right away. When something hurts, it doesn't hurt till later. But yeah, very soon after that, I started having these chronic pains, but they would like drift all around. But all in the general vicinity of where my legs connect to my hips, to my pelvis. But it'd be on the right side, and then on the left side, and then higher up, and then lower down, and just kind of all over the place. But I really didn't connect it to like that I had physically hurt myself, because maybe I'm just an idiot, but just the way it never directly related. Whatever I did physically only affected me negatively or positively, like the next day. It was too much of a gap for me to fucking piece it together. So I had no idea what it was. I thought maybe I somehow got a bladder infection or something. I went and got some pure cranberry juice and started slamming that shit. And again, it was weird, like the first bottle of cranberry juice I downed, I just, by happenstance, I felt better the next day, so I thought, oh, maybe that is it. But it was just random coincidence. And this pain was never extremely bad, like when the doctor asks you 1 out of 10. I think at the worst, it was a 3, but usually more like a 1 or a 2. And again, it would go up and down in pain and drift around in the area that was hurt. It was all just really confusing. But it just wouldn't stop. It just would not go away. It just lasted for a week, then 2 weeks, then 3 weeks, then 4 weeks. And I think by like 5 or 6 weeks, I was like, I better fucking try to go to the doctor or something, because I just don't know what's happening. And that's where, oh geez, fucking New Brunswick. So the Canadian healthcare system I've had pretty good experiences with in big cities. In Vancouver or in Toronto, I've had MRIs, I've had emergency appendix surgeries, all at the drop of a hat. Really no big deal. And I remember like one time by happenstance, I just went to a walk-in clinic in Vancouver that was really busy, but it wasn't any kind of an emergency, so I just went across town. I was on my way to work anyway, and I'm like, well, let me just try the other one across town. And it was empty. So it's like, ah, nice. Like, there's options. If one place is throttled for whatever reason that day, there's a bunch of other ones. Where here in New Brunswick, we're the smallest, shittest province. I don't know if we're the smallest, but we're very small. No one wants to live here. Doctors certainly don't want to live here. You've gone through all the trouble to be a doctor. Why the fuck would you live here? You know, you live in Toronto, you live in Vancouver. So we have a severe shortage of doctors. To get like a family doctor, the waiting list is years long. And what I would do pre-COVID, because the very few walk-in clinics that we have, I think we literally have two. And they would fill up immediately, you know? Like just by the time the doors open, there's already a line long enough to keep them booked for the whole day. So what I did, I gamed the system. I mean, I only did this once. It was before COVID, but it just went to, I just wanted to go check about my shoulder. This is where I confirmed that I have scoliosis. I just wanted to, you know, I mean, I basically knew that, but I figured I should go get an official prognosis. So I got up like before the sun rose and went to this clinic and just stood outside for like an hour and a half before the doors open, just to make sure I'd be first in line. And it worked. It was worth it just to not have to fucking deal with the crazy crush of humanity. However, since COVID protocols started, you can't walk into the walk-in clinic anymore. Now you have to call, so there's no way to, you know, you can't just jump to the head of the line like that. Because their system, it doesn't even put you in a queue, in like a hold queue. You literally just call, starting at like, whatever, 7 a.m. They start taking calls, and if you call and it's busy, you just gotta call back, and you just gotta hope you get through before they book the 50 people or whatever that they're gonna see that day. And then they just call you back, and you do phone fucking consultations. But I did that for a couple of days. I woke up super early and I just spent the next, you know, from 7 to 8, just calling 50 times. Never got through. And it's just like, how many more times am I going to do this? This is fucking stupid. This is ridiculous. I'm just supposed to roll the dice and just hope? You know, I feel like when you don't hear a lot of criticisms of the Canadian health system, but if you do, this is sort of what I tended to hear. It was like, well, I mean, if everyone just has free healthcare, you gotta wait forever to get seen. And it's like, or just, it's, how do you ever see a doctor? But that was not ever my experience anywhere except here. Here it is like that. Here, I wish I could just go pay a doctor exorbitant amounts of money just so I could actually see them. That would be fine. But apparently, because this whole situation is so fucking stupid, I looked into it more and it looks like there are kind of like online consultations you can do with doctors. So that way you can at least book it, you know, and it might be like, hey, we can't actually do the consultation for a while, but at least you're in the queue and it'll come eventually. But it didn't get to that point because I accidentally figured out what was wrong with me. And it was, what happened is, so if you rewind back to, I think it was 2017, when Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild came out for the Switch. And I loved Zelda when I was a kid, the very first Zelda. I've got a sort of respect for how weird the second Zelda was, but then the third Zelda on Super Nintendo, like amazing, what an amazing game. It's one of those things, even though I was a Sega kid and I had a Genesis, It's those heavy hitters. Zelda, Mario, Metroid. You really can't deny those. Like, there's nothing on Sega remotely that good. Sonic the Hedgehog can suck my dick. Those games suck. You know, all three buttons make you jump. Fuck off with that. But then when Zelda went 3D, I didn't like it anymore. Controversial opinion, but I don't like Ocarina of Time. I had it back in the day, and I'm kind of like bitter about it because my brother insisted we get a Nintendo 64 instead of a PlayStation just for fucking Zelda. And then Zelda was this fucking shit game where little Navi is always, listen! There's no jump button. That game sucked, dude. I have no fucking idea why everyone loves that game so much. It's so boring and so constrained. And like Mario 64 was this amazing move to 3D. Like, holy shit, this is everything you would dream of when you imagine a 3D Mario game. They fucking nailed it. Where all the stuff I dreamed of for a 3D Zelda was not there in Ocarina of Time. That game is fucking shit. Fuck you if you think that game is a all-time classic. Get the fuck out of here. That's literally my least favorite video game opinion of all time, is that Ocarina of Time is a great game. It's not a terrible game. It's like a B. It's a B game. And 3D Zelda never got much better, in my estimation. Just found those games very boring, very prescribed. Everything was laid out for you, like before you even play the game, you know what's gonna happen. And then Dark Souls came out and basically fixed Zelda. It's like all of that cool mystery and weird openness and unexpected stuff from the first Zelda. That's Dark Souls. Dark Souls picked up that baton and kept running with it. Oh, yeah, and then there was that 3DS Zelda game, Link Between Worlds. I also love that game because that brought things back to old Zelda style. And I'm like, ah, sweet. I do like Zelda. I knew I liked Zelda. Just not 3D. 3D Zelda is fucking garbage. But then Breath of the Wild came out and amazing reviews, critically beloved. And from everything I saw about it, I was like, I know I'm gonna like this game. Like, you can just tell, like, this really is going back to the roots. It's like Dark Souls woke them up. It's like it gave Nintendo, it like grabbed them by the shoulders and shook them and was like, remember? You remember what Zelda used to be? I know it was a long time ago, but you guys had something here and you let it go for 20 straight years. You just forgot about it. But Breath of the Wild clearly was bringing it back. Just the openness, the adventure, the unexpectedness, just the delight of exploration. I'm like, oh man, I know I'm gonna like this game. This is gonna be awesome. But I didn't wanna buy a Switch because I was already living my backpack life where everything I owned had to fit in one book bag so that I could travel. And every little thing you add adds incredible weight. It's amazing how much every little thing really makes a difference. And I already had a fucking Xbox controller in case I wanted to plug it into my computer to play a Steam game or something. And I took that fucking Xbox controller around the entire earth and never used it once. So that was already like a mistake. That was some weight that I was like, I'm not doing that again. And I knew the Switch would be that. It doesn't seem that big. It doesn't seem that heavy. But at the end of the day, I'm only gonna really wanna play Zelda and Mario. Metroid wasn't even out yet at that time. And I knew all of my friends were gonna get this thing. So my plan was just to wait. You know, if I just wait long enough, everybody will get bored of their Switches, and someone will lend me one, and that'll solve all of this. I won't have to have the burden of ownership. I can just borrow it, play Zelda, everything will be great. However, I did not expect it to take 5 years. Maybe 6 years. It's been a long fucking time. Because again, just COVID fucked shit up. If it weren't for COVID, I mean, my friend Ray alone has 3 Switches. It's just ridiculous. Like, he bought one for his fiance's kid. Then he bought another one for him and his fiance to use. Then he bought like an upgraded one for the kids. So they literally just have one that is just like extra, literally extra. But just because of COVID. I haven't been back to Toronto in a while, so I was unable to accept my birthright of being bequeathed an extra Nintendo Switch. But then, my cousin Dan, I mean, it's a whole other story, and I guess it's, you know, it's his story to tell if he ever decides to, but through some very weird circumstances, he hooked up with this girl from California, and she moved here, and she lived with him for a while, and it all, it didn't end well, but man, I've never seen a person less bothered by a breakup than he was. I think he was really glad for it to be done. But one of the things that this fine young lady brought with her was a Nintendo Switch. And when she skedaddled back to America, she left it here. I think maybe because Dan bought Zelda and he was still halfway through it, and she felt bad that he bought this game and she didn't want him to not be able to finish it, so she left the Switch. So I was like, ha ha ha, licking my chops. Like, I knew it would happen eventually. I knew the time would come. Now I just have to bide my time. Just wait for Dan to finish Zelda. And he finally did. And he's like, hey, I think I'm done with Zelda. You want to borrow the Switch? And I was like, ding, 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 finally. Yes, thank you. And it was even better because since I'm late to the game, all the DLC and stuff is already out and he bought it. So I got to start the game on Master Mode, which is like the harder mode, because that's just what I like. I like that better in video games. I like games to have hard edges, you know? Like, I don't like them to feel indistinct. I mean, I find games, hard games are hard just like for anyone. Like, they still, it bothers me to get my ass kicked by a game, but it's worth it for just that feeling of the world being more real. So like in this case, for like a long time, I couldn't really fight anybody. Everyone was kicking my ass so hard because I started on the hard mode. But because this game is so open, it's just so cool. Like, you can just sneak around people for a lot of what you need to do. And Breath of the Wild has all this cool physics stuff. Like, hey, if you shoot an arrow through a flame and then the flaming arrow hits a fucking explosive barrel, that'll blow up a bad guy encampment, and like, you can just do all this cool stuff. You can think your way around the situation. So I had to do that for ages before I got remotely able to fight anybody in that game. And even at this point now, I'm relatively leveled up, but it takes so many resources. It's like, okay, I probably can go fight this thing, like the Lynels or whatever. They're like the really hard guys. I think I've only beat one of them, because it's like, I can beat him. But man, I'm gonna have to gear up like crazy and just expend so many resources. I don't know if it's worth it. But yeah, that game is everything that I hoped it would be and more. It's amazing. Like, I remember there was this one part, like, it just, it's that feeling I was saying, how like when I would dream about a 3D Zelda and what I wished it would be. Obviously, it couldn't really be that on the N64, but now it can, and it is. It's just like, it feels so real. Like, I was trying to climb these huge cliffs. Like, I've never seen a game with bigger mountains that just feels more vertical. Like, when you see a mountain, it's like a real mountain. You're like, holy shit, that is crazy. And I was trying to climb this thing and I just couldn't. No matter what route I tried to take, making stamina potions and all this stuff, I just couldn't make it up this mountain. But I knew you could. I knew there was stuff up there, because I saw a tower up there in the distance that I was trying to get to. So I had to give up. And that's a good example of like what I like in a game, where I like a game to have these hard edges. To me, it's like the power fantasy is not fun. I don't like when you can just plow your way through a game with no problems. When there's stuff you can't do, it just makes the world feel more real. I kind of figured this out back with like Fallout 3. Because the first time I played Fallout 3, I eventually got to a point where I just put it to easy because I just wanted to see all the locations, and I just walked around and completed the whole map and just tried to see as much of the game as I could. But it was just kind of a slog and kind of a drag, and it wasn't really exciting. So when I went back a few years later and played it again, by that point I'd started to figure this out about myself, that like what I liked about video games when I was a kid was breaking through these barriers and exploring stuff, but not expecting to get to the end, not expecting to see everything. That there's tons of benefits to playing games on hard that are ultimately more satisfying than just winning. for extended thoughts, even more extended thoughts, you can read my book about The Last of Us, available at keithcourage.com. But there'd be stuff like in Fallout, like there'd be just a little encampment of raiders, you know, like a ruined building. And it's not a specific quest, it's just a bunch of raiders in this building, and if you go in there, there's just stuff. You could just loot the place and get stuff. And on easy, or normal even, you would just go in and kill them all, and you really wouldn't think twice about it. Where when you crank the game up to hard, I couldn't. You know, I couldn't even get close to the place. I saw it from a distance. I kind of, sort of try to figure out, like, is this worth it? Take a few sniper shots at them, see how it goes. They start fighting back, and you just calculate that this is not worth it. And you just run away. And that was like a watershed moment for me where I realized running away from that situation was more engaging and more fun than going in and sweeping the place out and taking all their stuff. Because playing on easy and killing everybody just feels kind of boneheaded. Playing on hard is like calculation time, survivalism time. Is this worth it? If it's not, then the smart play, the winning play, is to run away. And I was like, wow, this game is so much more fun this way. And then stuff like Dark Souls really nailed that idea home of like, man, there's so much benefit to not being able to do everything. So in this case with Zelda, I couldn't climb the wall. And I was glad I couldn't climb the wall. You know, it's such an unusual sensation in a video game to fail. And it's really unusual in a Zelda game. You know, Mario games are deceptively hard, but Zelda isn't. In an old Zelda game, like that would have been, man, I would have had some like companion talking me through the whole thing. Basically in like those 3D Zelda games, what I don't like about them is they feel like a never-ending tutorial. Like, the game is just a tutorial and then it ends. The reins are never off. You're never just set loose on the game and like, hey, figure it out. Where Breath of the Wild is absolutely just go figure it out. So I couldn't climb up this wall. And I'm like, all right, never mind then. I'll come back to this later. Instead, I'll walk along the edge of this cliff, the bottom of this cliff, and it went down into this canyon that was moving toward the kind of desert area, and it just kept getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And since this was still relatively early in the game, I didn't have all the cool potions and fancy clothing to give you resistance to the weather. So poor little Link, he starts overheating, and I'm taking damage just from the heat. But then a cloud rolled by overhead, and the shade from the cloud was enough to cool down Link. And I'm like, oh, wait a fucking moment. That's fucking awesome. So if I go stand over here in the shade, I'm fine. So on my little journey, that became part of it. Like, just try to get from one area of shade to the next without spending too much time in direct sunlight. And the game is full of stuff like that. And it's just fucking amazing. It's like, holy fuck, this game is good. Because just, like the natural laws of the world in a video gamey way do apply. And like, if you just think through a situation in a way that you might logically in real life, there's a good chance that it'll work that way in Breath of the Wild. Like, I know everybody knows this already and I'm late to the party, but that game is fucking amazing. That's like 10 out of 10, A plus. Literally, you can't be better than that. That is an all-timer. What an amazing game. And another neat thing about playing on Master Mode is there's all this stuff I didn't realize I was missing. Because another thing I love in games is an empty HUD. You know, I like the screen to just be empty. Dead Space is kind of still the best example of that. Of like, they just find ways to show you what you need to know diegetically in the game. There's not little indicators on screen to show you how many bullets you got, how much life you have, and blah, blah, blah. But it turns out Breath of the Wild actually has a surprising amount of that shit. It has like a little meter to show how much noise you're making. It has the time of day. It has like fucking, like I saw on something, I was looking something up online and they mentioned the weather forecast. And I was like, what is the weather forecast? What are you talking about? I couldn't find that anywhere. It turns out that's right on the screen. It tells you what the weather's gonna be like. Thunderstorm coming or whatever. But since I played on Master Mode, I didn't have any of that stuff. And I'm glad I didn't. Like, that is one thing I do think it's a little better to just not have that stuff. So what I'm trying to say is it all worked out. I eventually had a Switch come my way. I got to play the game extra in the way I want to play it because the Master Mode already existed. And it couldn't have come at a better time because, going back to my chronic pains, since I was too dumb to connect it to hiking around, I was still hiking around every day because that's just what I've done for years. That's my routine. I go outside, I go for a walk, I do some writing. But then I got Zelda and I was getting increasingly depressed by being in pain every fucking day. So I just decided, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck summer. You know, you're supposed to go take advantage of summer and all the weather's nice, but summer actually sucks. It is so fucking hot. You're just gonna get sunburned. It's fucking miserable out. And around here, there's all those goddamn mosquitoes. And I just was like, you know what? Fuck it. Fuck everything. I'm just gonna be a total fucking schlub. I'm just gonna be a total piece of shit. And I'm just gonna lay on the couch and I'm gonna play Zelda for 2 fucking days. And I'm not gonna feel bad about it, I'm just gonna do it. Fuck everything. And I did that, and it turns out, I guess it's that saying, you know, moderation in all things, including moderation. But like, I literally haven't taken a day off of going on a fucking nature hike for years. Almost never, so rare. Certainly never 2 days in a row. But I guess what I learned is even if it seems like the healthy thing to do, go outside, you know, get some nature, get some exercise, you gotta take breaks from everything because you can't tell if you're doing something wrong unless you occasionally deviate from the pattern, I guess. Because after, you know, like day 3 of just sitting on the couch, I realized, like, wait a second, I'm not in pain right now. Because before, it's like sometimes my pain would go away, but for very small periods. It was like weird because it seemed like whenever I realized, like, oh, I'm not hurting right now, that would like be my cue for my body to go like, ah, no, don't get comfortable. You're still injured, because within minutes, it would start to hurt again. Every time I realized things weren't hurting, the pain would come back. But after 2 or 3 days of just vegging out on the couch, playing Zelda, I legitimately wasn't in pain. I actually didn't hurt. And it's like, oh, this isn't a fucking bladder infection or whatever other weird potential things. I was like, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. You know, I had like one afternoon where I was especially depressed and it was especially painful. And I was especially tired. And I was like, you know, nothing about this lines up with like how people describe testicular cancer and stuff. But what if? Because I just didn't know. It's just so stressful and so depressing to not know what your medical problem is. I was like, what if though? I mean, my dad died of cancer. This happens. My friend Jay got cancer when he was like 20. Luckily it was okay. These things happen and this does not seem to fit with any description, but what if? But even then, I came up with a plan. I'm like, yeah, well, what if though? What if this is some horrible thing and I'm about to die? And I came up with the idea of like, you know, I can probably finish up a rough-ass version of this novel in time because it's almost done. But all this other stuff I've got, what I would do is I would take all the notes I've got for different little stories because I've got so many of them, just random notes for like 100 fucking stories. And just put them online somewhere, you know? Just make them available. And my hope would be, the way they keep making movies about Philip K. Dick stories, even though the movies are almost never the same as the story, But it's amazing how many times people have used Philip K. Dick's stuff as a jumping off point, as like inspiration. I was like, well, if I leave all of my notes in a public archive, maybe that could happen. Even if I die suddenly, maybe future generations can just keep trawling through this thing and make their own stuff based on some weird idea that I had. You know, death can't stop me. Something will happen with all this cool shit I've been working on. Some version of it will get out there. But it became super clear after sitting on the couch. Oh, this is a physical problem. This is muscle strain. This is the fact that I've been hiking every day. It took me quite a while to piece together that day with the two book bags, because that had been 6 weeks earlier. And like I said, it didn't hurt. It didn't hurt that day. It just made me real tired. I thought maybe that was a good thing. Like, whew, had quite a workout today. But it was not a good thing. And once I figured that out, then at the same time I was trying to do all this doctor stuff and failing cataclysmically to see anyone. But that gave me enough guidance to just do my own little like YouTube research and stuff. And that's what I'm still working on now, is it is difficult because you know, I got to figure out exactly what the problem actually is and then what rehab exercises actually help. Because again, it's like, even if it helps or hurts, I can't really tell till the next day. It's a slow process. But what I've determined is, I mean, I knew I had, again, the scoliosis thing. My hip is tilted a little bit, 8 degrees, one in one way, which leads to all kinds of stuff. Knee pain on one side and shoulder pain on the other side. But it turns out my hips are also tilted the other way, like the forward back way, which I guess I knew that because it was like the mid 2010s when I really was getting into exercise, like 2013, 2014. And I realized I couldn't sit flat against a wall, like in an L shape. If you try to sit against a wall, I couldn't sit with my back straight against the wall and have my legs straight in front of me. I just can't do it because I have posterior tilt, turns out it's called. Nerd slouch. So this is all adding up to put considerable strain on all the joints and ligaments and shit in my hip areas. And again, like I've always had this stuff. Like when I look at old pictures or old ID and stuff, like I've always got the one shoulder higher than the other or whatever. It's always been like this, but when you're young, it just doesn't matter. Your body just compensates and you don't feel it. And then the way I heard one of these physical therapist people on YouTube describe it, when you have these problems, because this is apparently quite common, this like pelvic floor injuries, it's like you've got these imbalances and you got all these little problems, but as long as only one thing gets strained, two things get strained, you might hurt a little bit, but you don't really notice. It's like a cup being filled with water, and you fill it with some water, and then the water empties out, fill it with some more water, until something goes wrong. In my case, just carrying tons of extra weight and having a bunch of it on my front, so it was like straining all these muscles that I don't normally use. That's where the cup just gets overfilled. Just so much water gets poured in that it just floods out. And suddenly, it's a medical catastrophe that was always there, was always waiting in the wings. It was just never bad enough to really notice and really pay attention. So I mean, the upside is, I'm figuring out what stretches to do. There's this one in particular, like, there was one stretch in particular. As soon as I did it, it hurt so bad, but in a good way, that I was like, wow. Like, I've just isolated some group of muscles kind of in, like, the top of the back of my legs. That it's weird, because I hike around all the time, but those just weren't getting used enough. And because those are weak, the muscles in the front are trying to compensate, and that's why they're hurting. That was the one thing that right away I was like, wow, that's the right thing to do. That feels so much better. Holy shit. And then beyond that, I'm piecing together little bits of stuff. But again, it's hard because it's like some stuff helps, some stuff doesn't. But I usually have to wait till the next day to figure it out. But obviously things are going better. because I'm outside right now hiking around. But that's what's weird too. That's why it's all so confusing. This is why I kept hiking around every day during the time I was hurt, is because walking usually makes me feel better. And then it isn't till later that I find out it was actually hurting me. It's so fucking weird and so annoying, just because everything's this delayed response. But I'm relatively confident. Like today, this is actually probably reaching the limit of how much I should be walking around. I should wrap this up pretty soon. But then as long as I go home and I do all my rehab stretches right away, I think I'll be all right. And like I hit a point a couple of weeks ago where I went for one of these little walks and I actually felt better instead of worse. And it's like, oh man, that's a relieving feeling. You know, it's still a very up and down, tricky process, but that was a clear sign of improvement. But basically, I've spent this whole summer mostly inside. Thank God, again, just the perfect time to get Zelda. Thank God I've got Zelda. Makes it a lot easier to just stay inside. And yeah, it might be good in the long run because, you know, I'm addressing these issues finally. I'm aware of them and I'm figuring out ways to fix things. But I'm also noticing at this point, like, my pelvic floor pains, they don't really hurt that bad when I'm walking or when I'm standing. And laying down, you know, I gotta be in the right position, but laying down isn't so bad. Sitting, however, sitting is awful. Sitting is the worst. Sitting, I just can't sit. It really hurts. But again, maybe that's a good thing. You know, they always talk about how unhealthy it is to sit. Sitting is not a healthy thing. So I've set up my computer at home as like a standing, you know, as like a standing desk. So now I'm pretty much always either standing, walking, or lying down. I just don't sit down anymore. I just don't do it. And that's helping to helping me heal, that's for sure. And again, maybe this is just a good habit. Maybe this is just a good thing to do anyway. And again, trying to look at the upsides, I'm glad this happened while I'm just stuck in my hometown, you know? I'm really hoping by next spring I can start traveling again. But I was thinking, like, what if this happened while I was out traveling the world? Because the sitting thing in particular is so kind of disturbing to not be able to sit. It's just so strange, but it's just like this pain would just build and build and build while I was sitting. And it's like, I just can't do this. And I'm thinking of like this 11-hour flight, you know, I took from Japan. What would happen if I couldn't sit? What the fuck would I do? Would I just have to be the most annoying fucking person in the world that I'm just walking up and down the aisles for 11 hours and just trying to explain that I can't sit down? Who can't sit down? What the fuck? And then even, you know, during takeoffs and landings when you have to strap in and you have to sit down, like I couldn't. At the peak of this, I could not sit down. It just hurts so much. And I guess, I don't know, I guess this is one of those things people say. I mean, right now, you know, again, I'm in the woods again. I'm walking across a log right now, balancing. I'm definitely getting better. And in general, I just don't feel much different than I did as a teenager or whatever. Just sitting around playing Zelda, you know, trying to write a novel. Nothing's changed much. You hear that all the time from people, like, yeah, you know, I'm old, but I don't feel old or whatever. But there's stuff like this that is undeniable. This is what people mean when they're like, hey, try to go travel when you're young and stuff. Or even people talk about like having kids. Like if you have a kid when you're 20, it's a lot easier to pick that kid up and do all the physical stuff you gotta do. If you're 30 or 40, it's a lot harder. And it's like, yeah, this is what they mean. There's just stuff. Who the fuck, you know, you just, and you can never see it coming, but how can I deny that I'm getting old when I can't fucking sit down? It hurts me to sit. Fucking pathetic. God damn it. Ugh. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's disturbing. It's disturbing in this fundamental way of like, Like, I really don't think I could go back to Japan if I just never fucking... if I hit a point where I couldn't sit anymore. I never even thought of that, you know? I don't know, when you think about physical ailments or getting old, sitting is supposed to be the cure. I'm too old, so I just sit around all the time. But no, I'm too old, so I can't sit down. What the fuck? God damn it. It's fucking disturbing and creepy. But anyway, I'm really not that old yet. I'm still going to be okay for a while. But this has been a serious bump in the road, a seriously unpleasant summer. But oh yeah, okay, so ultimately though, to tie it in, two things I did learn out of this. First off, the mosquito thing. This just happened to time out, so like, I mean, there's still a little bit of mosquitoes right today. I've been bit a few times while I'm walking around, but obviously it's not that bad at this point. I basically missed the mosquitoes. I just passed that right by, the whole mosquito life cycle. And I realized that's just better to do. Fuck summer. It's not worth it. As much as it seems good to go outside and be in nature and hike around, if you're in a mosquito zone, it's just not worth it. Just stay inside, you know? I never would have done it unless I got hurt, because my routine was to go outside, and it just seems like the right thing to do. But don't try to fight the mosquitoes. It's ridiculous. Again, like my whole get up with the chair and the fucking mosquito net and the blah, 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 and it just wasn't working anyway. Fuck it. Just stay inside for a month. Fuck it. Fuck summer. It's not worth the effort. And then the other thing that is downright revolutionary, if you've been listening to this podcast since the start, my number one most oft repeated thing is how much I don't like to write at home. I just don't feel comfortable. My brain won't open up. I hate it. But I've learned to love it, or to do it at least. Turns out pain is an amazing motivator. If I'm having a pretty good day and my little pelvic pains are not that bad, but I know that if I go outside and go hike around, it's gonna be two more days of horrible, chronic, stinging pain. It's very easy not to go outside. It's very easy to stay home. You know, like eventually, after like a month of being inside all the time, I did start really feeling it. Like, oh man, look how beautiful it is outside today. I really gotta go outside. And I still did little bits, like, you know, like usually midweek I would go on one short walk, and then once a week I took a long walk across town to see my mom. So I still did that the whole time. But most of the time I was inside. And eventually it started weighing on me of like, oh fuck, I really want to go outside. Look how nice it is out there. But for at least that first month, it really didn't bother me, because I was just so elated to not be in pain anymore. It's like, man, all I gotta do is stay inside and play Zelda and I won't hurt. No problem. So I came up with a new routine. Like, again, I still don't get very much done each day, as I never do, but my daily writing routine has not been interrupted by this very much, because my new routine was last year I came into possession of a pretty nice tent, a pretty fancy tent, and I thought this year maybe I'll go camping, go do some Uru camping, go to the woods near my house. Not these ones I'm in now, but there's like some real ass woods. Do some camping, and if something went horribly wrong, you know, I was still in walking distance of just coming home. But I realized with all the mosquitoes and stuff, it's like, this is probably not gonna happen. So it's nice to have a tent just in case, but I never did end up doing that. But just to test, just as a let's test putting up a tent, make sure I know how to do this before I'm out in the woods, I just set up the tent in my room, in my bedroom. And it's just kind of fun. It's like, hey, I got a tent in my room. So what I did is I grabbed my Chromebook, and since I was home, I had Wi-Fi. So, you know, ideally, I guess I should just listen to music or something and do writing, but I got to kind of ease myself in, like to just smash myself straight into writing. You know, usually it doesn't work for me in general, but especially this at-home thing, because like I was saying, it really helps for me to go do this, to go outside and go for a walk and loosen up my mind first. I didn't have that at home. But since I had Wi-Fi, what I would do is I'd just watch people on YouTube play Magic the Gathering. Because it's one of these things that, like, I've always liked the mechanics of that game. It's like Mousetrap, you know? It's like, look at this weird deck I made. Look at this weird plan I'm trying to enact. But it's like Mousetrap if there were 26,000 potential pieces. It's a pretty crazy game. I don't necessarily recommend it, because especially playing it online, it makes me hate my life. But it's really fun for me to watch other people play it, because it's this game from my youth. It's still around. It's so ludicrously complex at this point. But it's also the kind of thing you don't really need to watch, or you don't really need to pay attention to. Sort of like pro wrestling is that same way for me, of like, I can watch it ambiently. I don't have to really focus. It's not like watching a TV show or something. So I would get in the tent, and that helped me feel like I wasn't in my house, first off. Kind of fun, just go get in the tent, watch some guy on YouTube walk me through his deck tech. Here's the deck I made, here's the plan, here's what I'm trying to do. Have that open, and then in a little side window, have my writing just sitting there. And you know, after like 10 minutes of watching the guy play Magic, you know, it's just my brain starts to drift. I'm not really focusing on it, I'm not really paying attention. And my writing is just right there, just sitting there ready to go. So I just kind of tab over. My attention shifts, I'm not paying attention to the YouTube guy really, and just do some writing. And again, maybe it wouldn't be a ton, but some. Keep the chain going. And that's how I've been writing indoors lately. But now that I'm starting to get better, the mosquitoes are starting to die. Hopefully I can just revert back to my normal routine pretty soon. I'm like half and half right now, 50-50. I'm not afraid to go outside and strain myself anymore. Like today, just as I've been recording this podcast, nothing hurt at first. Then there was about 10 or 15 minutes in the middle where I was like starting to feel a little twinge of something. Right now everything feels fine again. So again, as long as I go home and do all my rehab stuff, I think I'll be okay. But maybe tomorrow I'll just not go outside because I don't want to push it. Everything in moderation. Let's take this calm. Let's take this easy. Let's make sure not to injure myself again. Now that I know about this, I can be more mindful. Maybe I'll eventually learn how to rehab myself to the point that my stupid tilted pelvis will get rehabbed a bit, but I don't know. I may eventually have to see a real doctor for this shit, because it's, I don't know, it's very complicated. The human body is very confusing. And everything is connected to everything. But that's the tale of my indoor summer. I don't know, I feel like maybe this episode's a little obnoxious. I really went off on fucking Ocarina of Time. But I guess that's the other thing with this, is like I'm trying to look at the upsides, I'm trying to look at the bonuses and the benefits, but this has been quite depressing. I've been in a mood this summer, because like, fuck this fucking sucks. This is all scary and deflating and shitty. But I have definitely learned stuff, learned things about my fucked up body, learned nice rehab techniques that seem to be working. And amazingly, I learned how to write indoors. Again, you just like, you once you establish a new habit, you know, I mean, I did this for a whole like month. Doesn't feel that crazy anymore to just do my writing inside, you know? It just was so impossible before because there was always another option, you know? It's like I could write inside or I could go outside. And even if there's mosquitoes, I could get the netting. Or even if it's raining, I could go sit under an awning. I can find ways to go outside, but once there is no way to go outside, once going outside means pain, 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 and it's like, you know what? It turns out it's not that hard to write inside. When there's no other option, it's actually really fucking easy. Not a problem. And, you know, maybe I've added that to my arsenal now. Maybe that's a thing that just won't seem so tough to do anymore. All right, song of the day. I don't even know how I heard this fucking song. It's this band Doves, and I don't know any of their other songs. I've tried digging into their discography a bit. I'm trying again right now, actually. But none of the other songs really stand out to me. But this song, Catch the Sun, I have no fucking idea where I heard this, but it's one of the best songs I've ever heard. It's so fucking good. And it's really got this kind of 90s, early 90s, the grunge alternative shit that I grew up with. It's got that vibe where even the happy songs are supposed to have kind of a twinge of sadness. You know, to me, that's just, that feels natural. That's how this song fucking feels. You know, it's a pretty upbeat little fucking catchy guitar number. But there's just something about this song that as it goes, you know, verse, chorus, verse, by the second chorus and then the instrumental break and then the whole end part, it just has a weird way of worming its way in, like the way music can just hit you in these weird ways that are abstract and you can't really describe. This song just kind of makes me upset. Happy and upset at the same time. Which is kind of like, I guess, what I always liked about Elliott Smith. Sweet Adeline and stuff. But I remember when I was in Fukuoka, Japan, and I was walking just somewhere downtown. I don't know, I guess maybe I was going toward Hakata Station. I didn't really know Fukuoka that well, so a lot of it was just wandering and not really quite knowing where I was. I just knew I was in that general area, and I just remember this song came on my little fucking, on my phone, and I was listening to it. And that's kind of the memory I remember the most. It's just a sunny day, walking through downtown Fukuoka, and just feeling that same feeling I was just describing of like, this is so cool, and it's so sunny and nice out, but there's something about this song that just plucks my little heartstrings, and I don't know why, and I can't really explain it. And now, whenever I hear this song again, I remember that, just that little, just that walk. You know? I don't know, this doesn't mean anything to anybody except me. But I like it, so here's Catch the Sun by Doves. Thank you for listening to all my rambling. If you somehow are a person out there who has not played Breath of the Wild, I think I'm the last human who hasn't played it, but if you haven't, so good. I couldn't recommend it more. I mean, games like Dark Souls I like a lot, but they're hard to recommend. You really gotta be in it to win it with that shit. Breath of the Wild is super easy to recommend. One of the coolest games I've ever played. So, maybe you know somebody who has 3 Nintendo Switches that are just laying around. Man, give that shit a try. It's worth it. Catch the Sun by Doves. Cross your fingers that I continue to heal. And I'll talk to you next time. Every day it comes to this. Catch the things you might have missed, you say. Get back to yesterday. I can't stand the ride. I miss you.